you. A real show of the Siris Nefesh to come out 2 days in a row. Many of you yesterday had babysitters and you were at the Siyum HaShas. And to come out again tonight, we greatly appreciate your Siris Nefesh to your children. I guess one inspiration deserves another. So this is what we have for tonight, Baruch Hashem. A few years ago, at the Torah Masorah Convention, Harav Avraham Chaim Levine, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rosh Yeshiva, who was at the time the Rosh Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah of Torah Masorah, spoke to Menalim and Menalos, and he very, very strongly urged us to include Emuna in our curriculum. He told us how important it is nowadays that you can't rely just on the homes to instill Emuna in the children, but that the school has to do it in many different ways. One of the ways that we've done it here, Baruch Hashem, in Jontek Space Yaakov, in the junior high, is through the GEM program. The GEM program, growing every month, that was the brainchild of Mrs. Kaufman, deals with beautiful topics every year. And one of those topics is the one that we dealt with this year, the Yud Gimel Ikre Emuna, the 13 Animamins of the Rambam. And in very creative, interactive ways, the girls had a chance not just to learn, but to experience the Animamins. Tonight, we'd like to share with you some of the insights that we can gain from Rav Tenenbaum Shlita, who came to open our evening tonight, Divrei Psicha, and our panelists, Mrs. Cohn, Mrs. Jacobowitz, Rebbe Centorsky, and unfortunately, Mrs. Steinmetz is sick with fever, and she's not going to be here tonight. We're all disappointed. But certainly, we feel that what we can gain from these women and from our mashgiach will help us strengthen the emunah in our children. So we thank you for coming, and we would like to call upon Rabbi Tenenbaum. Thank you.
I want to second what Mrs. Weinhaus said, Mika Amchi Yisrael, to have Noshim Tzidkaniyas come out a weekday night to work on their emunah, to strengthen their emunah and the emunah of our children. It's a beautiful thing. May the schus of your hard work, especially when there was no homework blackout tonight, I'm sure you had, was there?
Light homework.
Like, especially doing homework with the Kindlech and still making the time to come out to work on ourselves and help our children understand the concept of Emunah shows a tremendous commitment of our parent body. I feel privileged to be one of the parents of this wonderful school, Yasher Koyach, Mrs. Weinhaus, and thank you, Mrs. Kaufman, for the invitation. When I started teaching, I felt that I learned so much better when I had to teach. So much clearer when I had to teach. And when I was told that I should have to open the program today, I've gotten a few minutes to speak about the topic of Emunah, to open again a Sefer and a Sfarim on Emunah gave me some more chizuk. So Yasher Koyach for the extra chizuk that I just got from just preparing for tonight's opening speech. There was a story in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. It was a yeshiva for Israeli children, and they requested from a Rav, who happened to be a Hasidish Rav, to come speak to the Talmidim on the topic of Emunah. And they asked the Rav that since it's mainly Israelis, and they're not from a Hasidish background, so they don't really understand Yiddish, so we request that you please speak only in Hebrew. The entire speech would be done in Ivrit. So the Rav said, sure, not a problem, and he gave a beautiful speech on the topic of Emunah in Hebrew, in Ivrit. One of the children came home and told his parents, I heard such a fascinating speech today, and I feel mechuzik. And his parents asked to repeat something what was said over. He said, I can repeat the entire speech, but there's one word which I couldn't understand. It must not be in Hebrew, because I couldn't understand the word. And what was the word you couldn't understand? And the kid said, I didn't understand what the word Eibishter means. He kept on talking about the Eibishter, the Eibishter, the Eibishter. What is the Eibishter? I don't know what the Eibishter is. I want to speak about the Eibishter. How do we bring the Eibishter into our lives? The Taich, the translation, the literal translation of the word Eibishter is uppermost. The Eibishter is the Hechzi, he's the highest. There's nothing above HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eibishter is all the way on top. So how do we take the Eibishter and we get to understand what the Eibishter means so that we can give it over to our children so our children will understand what the Eibishter means in any language? Before I want to bring down the Rambam explains how to teach Emunah. I want to ask, how do we test our own level of Emunah? I want to test myself. Am I a Baal Maimon? Am I not a Baal Maimon? What is the initial response when a challenging, unexpected event happens? What's my initial response to it? Is my initial response, Rabbeinu Shalom? Is my initial response looking to blame someone? Is my initial response trying to find reasons why this happened? So if the initial response is, that's the Ratzon of Hashem, Oy Rabbeinu Shalom, Hashem Yishmereinu, if that's our initial response, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our lingo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on our tongue. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our heart. If the initial response is blame, then you consider whatever just happened was due to someone's lack of competence or shlemazelkeit. But that's not the case. Now, I worked on it very much. Anytime I drop a cup, I say that's the Ratzon of Hashem. Someone else drops it. Why did you have to drop it? But Lamaisa, we have to think into it. When something happens unexpectedly, what's our initial response? So how do we bring the Eibishter into our vocabulary, into our hearts? The Rambam writes, the Rambam Amar Nevoichim writes, Hu emuna eino ha'inyin hanema b'peh. The inyan of emuna is not something that just has to be taught b'peh with your mouth. I trust, I believe. It's not only that. Aval inyan ha'metzuya b'nefesh. It has to have an impact in your nefesh, in your soul. It has to have an imprint. Emuna has to have an imprint. And the Rambam explains that emuna is avodah shebelev. It has to do with a heart. Emuna is not just the topic, not just the curriculum that we're going to talk about. The curriculum that we're adapting here in the school is an addition to the models of Bali emuna that we have as teachers and principals here. But emuna itself can't be just telling someone, believe in Hashem, believe in Hashem, believe in Hashem. It's an avodah shebelev. We have to trust. What else is avodah shebelev? Ahava, love, is avodah shebelev. We love our children, we love our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we love the family. It's not something that I can tell somebody I love. It's something that has to, your actions have to prove that you love. Avodah shebelev, what's the epitome of avodah shebelev? We know tefillah. Davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's avodah shebelev. So we have three things that according to the Rambam is considered avodah shebelev. Emuna, Ahava, and probably the first one is Tefillah. Through Tefillah, we can have a stronger Emuna as well. Tomorrow, Sar B'Tevis, the Chassam Sofer brings down that this fast is a unique fast. It's different than the other Tanaisim that we fast on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Chassam Sofer writes, and it's brought down from the Rishonim already, that if Asar B'Tevis falls out to be on a Shabbos, which according to the calendar, it cannot, but if it would come out to be on a Shabbos, we would have to fast on Shabbos. If Asara B'Tevis would be on Shabbos, it would be comparable to Yom Kippur, we would have to fast on Shabbos. But it's interesting because Tisha B'Av, that was the actual Churban Habayis, we don't have to fast if it comes out on Shabbos, it's a Nidcha. Shavuos B'Tamuz, who is a bit closer than Asara B'Tevis, we don't either have to fast if it would come out on Shabbos, it's a Nidcha. Why Asara B'Tevis, 7 months before the Churban, do we have to fast if it would have been on Shabbos? What other fasts do we have to fast on Shabbos if it comes on Shabbos? As we said, Yom Kippur, which is a deraisa thing of fast. We have to fast on Shabbos. Besides Yom Kippur, someone has a tainus chalom, someone had a nightmare, definitely has to be discussed with the Rav what's considered a tainus chalom. Someone has a terrible, terrible dream that something terrible will happen, then you have to fast. That fast is Deicha Shabbos as well. So we have Yom Kippur, a tainus chalom, and Asara B'Tavis, if it would have come out on Shabbos, is Deicha Shabbos. And the question is why? What's so significant of the Asara B'Tavis? Asara B'Tavis, when they surrounded Yerushalayim, it took 7 months, and they were debating whether we should go in and be Machrev Yerushalayim. The Chasam Sofer brings down, just like there was a debate down here, whether they should go in and destroy Yerushalayim, there was a debate in Shemayim as well. The Malachim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were sitting together and debating, should we allow the Zayinim, should we allow our enemies to destroy Yerushalayim or not? For 7 months they were contemplating back and forth, yes or no, yes or no. And it was dependent on Klal Yisrael, on the void that Klal Yisrael put down, on the tshuva. Will they do tshuva or not? And after 7 months, the gzeira came that Yerushalayim should be destroyed and the Beis Hamikdash should be destroyed. Dr. Heilig Chasam Sofer, that every year, Asara B'Tavis starts that debate again. A year that the Beis Hamikdash was not rebuilt is as if it would have been destroyed that year. So every year, Asara B'Tavis starts a debate in Shemayim. Should we rebuild the Beis Hamikdash this year or not? And by Tisha B'Av we'll have the answer. If Klal Yisrael worked on their Avodah Shebelev, if Klal Yisrael worked on the Tefillah, if Klal Yisrael worked on their Amunah, if Klal Yisrael worked on their Ahava, especially towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we will be Zeiche to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash this coming Tisha B'Av. Zog the Hilchos Sofer that the common concept between Asara B'Tavis and Yom Kippur and Tainus Chalom is that these three Tanesim are Tefillah. We're davening for the future. It's not something that we're crying for the past. Shavuos B'Tamuz, Tisha B'Av, we're crying on the past and the Churban that happened, on the Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed. Yom Kippur, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us a good year, be us meichel for our sins, for our avonos. It's a Tefillah. For a Tefillah you can fast on Shabbos. If it would be for something bad, that you wouldn't be able to. So Asara B'Tavis, tomorrow, the fast tomorrow, the Tefillah starts tonight already. In Shemayim, there's a need on what's going to happen by this year, Tisha B'Av. So now is the time to work on Avodah Shebelev. If we'll be on Shabbos, we'll be allowed to fast because it's the whole idea of the fast is a tefillah for the future, not crying on the past. The future is our tefillah. The future is our emunah. So how do we bring emunah into ourselves? How do we bring the Eibishd into ourselves? It's like the Rambam says, it's something that we constantly have to work on. We have to work on our belief. We have to work on our tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I tell parents many times, and the children are not, the parents will call that my child is not davening the way he's supposed to be. And I tell them, we don't necessarily need him yet to daven the way it's supposed to be. He doesn't understand the concept of a relationship. And when is a relationship between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Let him learn the skills of davening right now. So when he understands what it means to have a relationship, he'll be able to have that skill and be able to use that skill so he can build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Davening is that connection, that Avodah Shebelev, together with the Emunah, together with the Ahava, that comes from our heart. So when anything happens in our life, we don't look to blame. We look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our first message is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our children see us davening. They realize it's important. But more than that, if we want to understand how to bring the Eibishter into our children's life, after we understand the concept of Emunah, we understand that it's something that we have to work our heart, we have to work on it. It's not something that comes just by telling kids. It's something that we have to practice, we have to model it. The Rambam tells us, how do we teach Emunah to the next generation? And the Rambam writes, Rambam Yad HaChazaka, learn from Avraham Avinu. He was the first one that taught the world what Emunah means. Hischel Avraham Avinu lamoid velikroi b'koil godoy l'chol ha'olam. Avraham Avinu started announcing in a very loud voice to the entire world, Elohi Diyam, and notified them Sheyesh Eloka Echad L'chol Ha'olam. There is one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu went around with a microphone and kept on talking and talking and talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'loy roi la'avoid. And it's roi only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu you should serve. To him you should serve. You should only serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu went from place to place and talked about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do we want to know how we can give our children the concept of an Eibishter? They should know who the Eibishter is. Our children have to hear us talk about the Eibishter. They have to hear the Eibishter in our vocabulary. Not to my credit, but I was asked, why are you always so happy? Rabbi Tannenbaum, whenever we see you, you have a smile, you're happy. Everyone has the same challenges. Life brings a tremendous amount of challenges. The fact that I come across happy is not to my credit. You should see my father. My father modeled emunah. My parents modeled emunah. My grandparents modeled emunah. My grandmother would sit by the sewing machine with the Tehillim right in front of the sewing machine. And anytime we came to ask a Babi how was machste geloib de bashefer, dank de bashefer, that was the first words that came out of her mouth. The bashefer came before anything else. Praise Baruch Hashem. That was her. If you grow up in a house where everything is about Hashem, geloib de bashefer, and don't tell your child, say Baruch Hashem. Say Mietz Hashem, say Siyat. No. The child has to hear that is part of my vocabulary. My father, father would sit down on the couch. Heilige Bashefer. Zise Bashefer. Tell me them first, three make fun of me, they say it already. It's something which is part of our vocabulary. My father, my mother, my grandmother, wasn't zechet to know my grandfather, well, my grandfather, yeah, but that was the. Everything was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything was a. This is the Rotzon Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem, Be'siyata D'Shmaya, Hashem, a tragedy happens. Right? So the kids, what happened? Unfortunately, we're living in times where kids are exposed to many tragedies. So what's the initial response at home? Oy Hashem Yerachim. There was a Gzerim and Hashemayim, let's say a capital Tehillim. Not the guy came in and he started. That's what the kids want to hear. But what do we want? What's the message that we want to give to the children? Siddur Eibishter. There's a Bashefer. There's a Kodesh Baruch in the world. So by us modeling these words, and these words become part of our vocabulary, it becomes part of our Voidishta Belev. We make an extra effort to make sure that these are the words that are on the tips of our tongue. Heilige Bashefer, Tata Zisa, Bashefer, Kodesh Baruch Hu is. We're planning on doing. What are we doing for my winter vacation? Whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. Ez Hashem will work out. Again, if we model to our children that these are the words that we constantly use, that will bring the Eibishter into our lives and will bring the Eibishter into their lives. V'smachste, Baruch Hashem. Okay, Baruch Hashem shouldn't be just, okay, Baruch Hashem. No, Baruch Hashem. If we put that emotion into that Kodesh Baruch Hu, then if something happens unexpected, that was exerted from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Let's say the capital throne together. You said last week we heard the tragedy that happened. It happens to be that one of my children didn't speak about it at all. And he heard that one of the shuls put in an alarm system. He came to ask me, is there something that I should be scared about? Something I should be scared about? And my response to him was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted something to happen. Why? We don't understand. We daven for the victims. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't protect the city, then no armed guard and no panic buttons will help us. Avada, we have to do a shtatlus. We have to do something to heighten the level of security, that is for sure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us a sign, we have to show that it's a shtadlus, but not believe that that will save us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save us. And the kids have to hear this message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us till now. He will continue protecting us. And if something happened that was the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means we have to pick up a Tehillim and say a Kapitel Tehillim. I picked up something beautiful. And again, I have to say that's nice because I've seen the next generation take over as well. Next, that's all I remember, and you hear the tone go off, the tone of the radio goes off. Initial response is Sheila Malas is Ain El Horum Ayn Yobi Ezri Zekapital Telem. Because clearly a Yid needs a Rufu Shalema. So it's not like, oh, what's going on? There's a call. Where's the call going? Instead, let the Talmud run to the Svarim Shank, take out a Kapital Telem. We're going to say a Kapital Telem. The adults model Emunah to the children. It's not a textbook. You have to believe. It has to come from the heart. There was a beautiful organization called Thank You Hashem. And I spoke about it in the boys' school. I'm going to finish with this story. I'm not the guest of honor tonight, and I don't want to take up much time, but I want to finish up with this beautiful story, a personal story. Thank You Hashem group is a group that sends out emails and messages of individual stories. Something good happened, you found parking space, and the parking lot was full, and you happened to find the parking space. Thank you, Hashem, for the parking space that I found. And they post, they send emails of a whole list of thank yous. They have every Erev Shabbos, they print out papers of the thank yous, Hashem, the people posted, of small things that happened to them. I was a bit in a situation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me, I want to thank Hashem. So they said, they posted a tefillah's toida, a thank you Hashem tefillah. Every day, 1 o'clock New York time, 12 o'clock our time, as many people possible say this tefillah's toida. Tefillah's toida, made a few copies, if anyone wants, you can make more copies. It's brought down already from Kadmoinim, this tefillah, that it's a gewaldiges chus. This tefillah is that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the bad, for all the good that's happening, and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the bad that's happening, because we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu even for the difficult things that are happening. And sometimes it's hard for me, and I don't appreciate the hardship, but the hardship is litoivasi, shezeh litoivasi, it's for my own good sake. Deep down I understand that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, he does for my good. And you say this tefillah every day, and it's a school of emunah, that's for sure. And other things happen as well. I want to finish up with the story. About a month ago, we went to Israel. We went to Israel, and the first night that we got there, for Shabbos, we were renting an apartment. The apartment wasn't ready for the first night. We had to go to a hotel. We stayed in a hotel for the first night. And Shabbos, we went to the apartment. Sunday morning, I had an appointment with a few of the Gedolei Hador, Chaim Kanievsky, and a few Rosh Hashivas in Bnei Brak, and we were going to go travel to Bnei Brak to get brachas for our Talmidim and for the other projects that we're doing in the yeshiva. I wanted to rent a car Sunday to go rent to get to Bnei Brak. I called the car rental. They said in order to rent a car, you need your passports, your driver's license, etc. It's not a problem. I had in my pocket, I had my checkbook and the passports I had in my front pocket. I put on my rectal, I'm going to the car rental, and as I put my hand in my pocket, the pocket is empty. There are no check. My checkbook is not there, and my passports are not there. My smallest problem now is renting a car. Stuck in a Tishrol, it's on a Sunday, I have an appointment with Chaim Kanievsky, and I have to get to Bnei Brak, and I don't have my passports, I don't know what I'm going to do. I asked my wife, did you see the passport anywhere? What? You don't have the passport? Did you go to the mikveh? I said, yeah. Did you take it out of the mikveh before you went? I said, I took out the money. I didn't think about taking out the checkbook and my and the passports from my pocket. Now, the mikveh's Netz Yisrael is known, especially back then, that unfortunately not only the righteous people use the mikveh, some people that seek out the tourists use the mikveh as well, and the empty pockets over there. And I go and I see the passport is not here. I did use the mikveh Friday and Sunday. I took out the pamphlet that I have, the Tefillah's Toida. I walked out to the Merpeset and I said Tefillah's Toida. Told the Kodesh Baruch Hu, said the Tefillah, and I'm thinking to myself, this is something that happened to me. It's for my good. Thank you, Hashem, for the fact that I lost my passport and my checkbook. How good could it be? But I believed, because it's a tefillah. It's a tefillah, again, avoid the shibbelev, and moon is avoid the shibbelev, and tefillah is avoid the shibbelev. To make a long story short, I was going to call the council to let them know, you have to let them know that the passports were stolen. I wanted to verify if it's stolen or not. I called the bank, Chase Bank. It's on a Sunday. I called Chase Bank. Is there anything suspicious on my account? So they asked me, are you in Jerusalem or you're in San Francisco? So I said, I'm in Jerusalem. I said, oh, well, there's a whole bunch of charges here in San Francisco. Have you been in San Francisco the last day? I said, no, I have never been to San Francisco. Well, there's a whole bunch of charges on your account. So I said, please stop my account. So now I don't have a passport, now I don't have an account, I have nothing, I'm stuck there, and I have an appointment with a client that I have to get to. But I said the tefillah toda, I was calm, I was relaxed. My wife couldn't understand, why are you so relaxed? Aren't you nervous? You have to call, you have to, and now we just got the passport. Right before I made the phone call to the consulate that it was stolen, I said, one last shtadlis, let me do it. Let me call the hotel to find out, did I maybe lose my passport in the hotel? I contacted the hotel. They called me back within a minute. Security has your passport and your checkbook. Yeah, they do have it here. Security has my passport and my checkbook. So how did they get to my account, my bank account? I went to pick up my passport and my checkbook. I got it, Baruch Hashem, was able to rent the car. But listen, I wouldn't have checked my bank account. My bank account was hacked. Had nothing to do with the checkbook. Somehow they got hold of the copy of my debit card, my credit card, a skimmer or something. They were able to hack into my bank account through the credit card. The Chase Bank asked me, do you have your card with you? I said, my card is with me. It's a checkbook that I don't have with me. So they said, well, we see them. It could be they connected. I don't know how, but we see that it came out through the card. They must have got a copy of the card. If I wouldn't have lost my checkbook and my passport, I would have never called Chase to find out if there's anything suspicious. I wouldn't have known that my account was being emptied in San Francisco to put a stop on it so that I can have money to rent the car to go to the Chaim Kanievsky. So was it good that my passport was missing for 15 minutes or a half hour? Was it good that Agmas Nefesh? 100% it was good for me. Did I see that it was good? It looked like it was a nightmare about to happen. Anything that occurred, and this happened a month ago. Anything that a Kaddish Baruch Hu happens, Geloibte Bashefer, Heilige Bashefer, Tata Zise, you are our Bashefer, you're the one that leads us, and we will continue your lead. And anything that comes our way, we will look to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and tell our children, this is the Rotzein of Hashem, this is the will of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and we will stay strong with our Emunah so that that becomes our lingo so we can give it over to the next generation of Kindlech. Thank you. Mm-hmm.